Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. The winners are the people with the most stories.
One of the great things about traveling is the people that you meet.
I've slept in bus stations, I've slept on people's floors.
And it's already on fire, and then there's just a gigantic, huge explosion, like out of a Hollywood movie.
It's not right or wrong, it's just different.
We hired like 10 Chinese prostitutes to come be our audience.
We were kidnapped by nuns in Puerto Rico.
Not a good idea to be high when you're packing. You forget a lot of stuff.
I got swine flu.
By the time you've lived through it, it's just a good story.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Siegel. Thanks for listening. My guest today is Amber Zinsmeister. And before we get to Amber, I have a few announcements. First and foremost, our website is traveltalespodcast.com. And there you'll find photos of our guests. You'll find some stories that I've written, some stories that some of the guests have written. You'll find links to our social media. You'll find links to their social media. Our social media is, of course, Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram, Travel Tales Pod on X. We have a Facebook page. Follow us on all those platforms, please. We also are on all the streaming platforms. We are on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and iHeartRadio and you name it. We're there. So follow us, subscribe. And if you can, I ask, as always, please give us a good rating. Give us a thumbs up, maybe say a few nice things, because that boosts our presence, helps more people find the show, and that would be a cool thing for you to do. I'd appreciate that. If you want to write me because you think you'd be right for the show, or maybe you know somebody to be right for the show, or maybe you just want to say nice things and tell me how awesome I am, you can write me at traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. That's traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. Okay, Amber Zinsmeister. Amber is the roommate of our previous guest a couple episodes ago, Laura Greer. Laura, as you know, or if you follow the show, is a photographer and started her own hat company. And, you know, I've known Laura since 2015 when she first did the show. And she moved to this place in Marina del Rey on the border of Venice, right by the beach, a really cool location, an awesome apartment. And I would go there for parties on occasion. And I met her roommate, Amber, and I always enjoyed chatting with her at the parties. And she just took a trip with Laura that we talked about on Laura's episode a little bit to Peru. And Amber joined that trip. She did not join us on our African journey and was bummed about it, and did not join the Kilimanjaro trip, which was, she was very bummed about as well. So Amber made it a point to make the Peru trip. And I told her we'd talk about it. And Amber is not a performer. She's not as big of an extrovert as, say, Laura is. And not used to being in front of a microphone. She was very nervous about it. And I told her not to worry. And she did great, as you'll find out. She teaches yoga. I've taken one of her classes. It was awesome. And she also does sound baths, which she incorporated that into the yoga session, which was really cool. If you want to follow Amber on Instagram, she's at SoundByAmber, and that's also the name of her website, soundbyamber.com. We talked about a bunch of stuff, but it was nice finally to be able to talk to her at length, because we're always at a party or something, and it's loud, and there's people everywhere, and I don't really get to hear most of her story. So I finally got to enjoy an at-length conversation with Amber, and you get to do so as well. Please enjoy my chat with the lovely and charming Amber Zinsmeister.
Small town in Michigan. Grew up on Gay Drive.
Gay.
Gay Drive.
Sweet. I bet the kids never made fun of that.
You live on Gay Drive. Totally. Hey, the Gaylord's here.
Surprisingly, I didn't get made fun of that. It was more my last name that got...
You know what you're listed at on my phone?
What is it?
It says Amber Joy Yoga.
Yeah.
So Amber Joy is your first name, and then yoga, so you're under the Y's.
So it's Zinsmeister.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Zinsmeister.
We're going to have to change that.
I know that. People keep
This is an odd
me.
Way for me to propose, but okay, here we go. How do you feel about Siegel? They misspell my name, too.
Well, so. Yours is, you know, very...
Jewish?
Yeah. I was going to say simple and nice and very okay. easy. Mine's very, like,
Zinsmeister.
Very German.
Yeah, very. Wow.
Very, like, scary German.
But, you know, Michigan, that's not odd, you know. Michigan, more Wisconsin is more German, but still.
Yeah.
Where did your family get to Michigan?
I don't even know, because I know when we came to the Americas, we were more in, like, the Ohio area, like, okay. A lot of farmers. Grew up in a very small town on Gay Drive.
Gay.
It was a dirt road in the middle of nowhere.
Where in the hand? Where in the mitten?
Right on the bottom, like right on the border of Indiana and Ohio.
Oh, is that by Jackson? Or
it's south of Jackson. It took us, I think, 45 minutes to get to Jackson.
Oh, geez.
And even, I think, 30 minutes or maybe even more to get to just like a highway.
Ooh.
So we were deep out there, like cornfields.
Was that one of those things where, a lot of travelers are from small towns, and a lot of people who came out here to LA were from small towns.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know immediately, like growing up as a kid, is like, I am not going to stay here? Or,
you know,
did you like it?
I actually loved it because I don't know, there was just something about it. And it wasn't until I believe it was my junior year, I moved to a bigger school. So High school.
Okay.
So when I was on Gay Drive.
Sure.
I had in my class, my school class, it was maybe 50 people.
50?
50 people in my class. So then when I went to Howell, which I don't ever like to say I ever lived there, which I'll go into that, it was 500 people in my class. So it was still, I guess you could say, small, but it was large school for me.
Were there Amish near where you were?
Yeah. We saw horse and buggy all the time.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I've seen that in like rural Indiana and Pennsylvania.
We saw them often. And one year they put siding on our house. And so,
So why was moving to the quote unquote bigger town bad?
Well,
it's a tough time to move junior year.
It was because I had moved within the same school district, like from Reading to Jonesville, like, and we would play each other in sports. So it's like we all knew each other. So it didn't really feel like much of a change. But when I went to Howell, it's right in between Lansing and Detroit. I really didn't know anybody. And so my junior and senior year, I was legit sitting at the nerd table.
Aww.
In
I miss Gay Drive.
But it was great because it really got me out of my comfort zone a little bit, like being, I guess you can say, in a bigger city. And I liked it there. And then I lived in the suburbs of Detroit after high school. And then it was just, even then I wanted to stay. But right before I graduated high school, my mom moved to Guatemala.
Whoa.
And yeah. So.
Ooh, we got to get into that.
Yeah.
I just went to a Guatemala travel event last night.
Yeah.
So what brought her to Guatemala?
So she, where I grew up on Gay Drive.
Sure.
First, she was a teacher at the school I went to. And then she moved up to Howell for a job offer. She worked for the school district, I think, like teaching teachers. And that year she lost her job because of the tax cuts. And she's probably going to like hate me telling this story, but I guess she went out and got super tanked
because she was going to Guatemala.
Well, she was super upset losing her job.
Sure.
What is she going to do? And so her friends were like, hey, we're going to this job fair, you know, come with us. She's like, I'm so hungover, I can't come. So she ended up going, and there's this 2-year overseas teaching program. A lot of young teachers do this, and I think she was going to go to Japan or Moscow, but she didn't get her passport in time, so she went to Guatemala, which was an amazing experience for her because she'd always grown up, like her whole family had grown up in, you know, very small town.
That must have blew her mind.
Yeah, and so it was really amazing kind of seeing her at her age, you know, just doing something completely different, completely changed her life. So she was in Guatemala for, I think, 13 years. And after
13?
13 years.
So by this time, so you had already graduated high school.
I was right before she left, I just graduated. So I think it was maybe a month or a few weeks after I graduated high school.
Wow.
She was, and I had the option to go with her, but I had just started making my group of friends in like the bigger town.
Right.
And so I didn't want to leave. So I was like, this is an amazing opportunity for you. You need to go. And so she did. And it was so good for her because over these, you know, past this, so she went 2003, and just seeing her grow even more as a person, like going to all these different countries has been amazing. Cause you know, she was in Guatemala for 13 years or so. And then she came back to the States for a little bit, then went to the Republic of Congo and taught out there. And then she just retired a year or two ago, and she was in North Macedonia.
Holy cow.
Which was amazing, yeah.
Am I interviewing the wrong Zinsmeister?
I think you are. She has some amazing stories. And like when she was in Guatemala, she was you know, she was climbing volcanoes and shark diving.
So by yourself, was your dad out of the picture?
Yeah. So okay. My parents split up when I was junior high, which, you know, I'm glad that they did. They're still friends.
It's still
you know.
A tough age, though.
Yeah. But I was, you know, it was tough. I could tell they were trying to stay together until my brother and I got out of school and high school. And my brother was already, you know, off to college. But it was kind of a relief, and I appreciated their efforts. But they're just happier. They're still good friends, which makes it more
right.
fun, you know. And so I'm happy for them. But yeah, she just kind of went off.
So by herself, did she know Spanish?
No.
Wow.
But the schools that she was working with, you know, it's generally you speak English. It's mainly kids from all over the world.
Okay.
So it's sort of like a private school. But, you know, she knows.
She was teaching English?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, she taught for the first year. I think it was first graders. So cute.
Oh.
And then there was a principal job that became open, and she got the principal job. So she was the principal at the elementary school for, I guess, 12 or 11 years.
Did you go down and visit?
I did. So it was a wonderful accident that happened because my brother and I went down. It was 2007, I believe. And it was only supposed to be for 2 weeks. And she booked our flights to go down there. My brother's still in Michigan. I'm in California at this time. And my brother, you know, we were supposed to leave, I think, the day after Christmas. She accidentally booked my return flight for January 26th.
So you had like a whole month.
I had a month and a half there. And it was really
amazing. Was
that
an accident? I don't know if it was.
I sometimes wonder if my mom did it on purpose. But she was freaking out. And I was like, no, it's fine. She's like, well, what about your job? I'm like, I'm a waitress. Who cares?
I'm going to be so behind. I won't know the system when I get back.
Yeah. And so I went. And it was really an amazing experience. I had friends that came down to visit. And we climbed volcanoes, and we went all around, pretty much went all around Guatemala, except for the north part where Tikal is.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see that, but
was she in
else.
The big? Was she in the capital or in a small town?
She was in Guatemala City.
Okay.
When I went to visit her the first time, she was in the city. I think it was like zone 13 because they're by zone. So it was a nice area. And down there for Christmas and New Year's, oh my God, it was amazing. Like, fireworks.
Parties all the time.
Just everybody's celebrating. And I think it was midnight on Christmas Eve. We got on her roof, and I've never seen so many fireworks in my entire life. Like all the like hundreds of miles away up into the mountains, like, and next door, like kids are dancing, and it was just so wonderful. And so that was just an amazing experience. And then her teacher friends for New Year's took me out, which was really fun. And same thing, fireworks everywhere, and yeah, it was good.
What experience have you had up until that time? Had you ever been out of the country before?
Yeah, but nothing like that.
We don't count Canada on this show, by the way. Especially for Michigan people.
I know, it's like the same.
Right.
You know, I think at that point, I might have only been to like Cancun for my senior spring break.
Right.
So that's not really like anything.
We half count Cancun, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think, that really, when I came back from Guatemala, it was just kind of coming back to California. I was living in Hermosa Beach and just kind of seeing the mentality and how we, I don't know, it's just how much...
Seemed a lot more materialistic when you came back.
Yeah. And actually at that time, my roommate and I, we were sponsoring a girl from Guatemala and we had been sponsoring her for a while, like since we were living in Michigan and then her and I, we moved to California. And so we picked Guatemala because we're like, well, maybe we'll get to meet her. And we actually got to meet her while we were down there.
That's awesome.
And it was so cute because our girlfriend that we moved in with in Hermosa, California, we had her picture up like on the refrigerator. And she's like, that's fake. That's so fake. So they both came down to visit me in Guatemala. We arranged to see the girl. I think her name was like Isabella. And our other roommate, who was just skeptical of everything. It just blew her mind. And we met at, it was Children International that we sponsored her through. And they had a center down there that the kids would come and play. And then they drove us around and we had a translator and they took us to her village. And it was crazy because when we drove in, like the kids were running behind the cars and it was shanties. And it was like a mud, just village. And she and her family, thankfully, they had like the best structure. You know, they had like cement blocks as walls, but they still had that tin roof that could...
Corrugated tin.
Yeah. So, you know, they were very thankful. And her mother was so sweet. She kind of had like this spunky haircut, like it was short and like really kind of like sassy and fashionable, which, you know, you wouldn't really see.
Sure.
But it was so cute. And then we got to go to her school and drop her off. Aww. And she ran up to, and they had like their little school uniforms, and she ran up to her group of friends. And she was telling them, these are my sponsors. And these group of girls like looked over her shoulders and at us. And their eyes got so big and they ran off scared. Aww. It was so cute.
That's great. How long did you sponsor her?
Years. It was a couple years. So I think when you get, I think when she got to 18, she, you know, you stopped sponsoring her.
Okay.
But she was saying she wanted to come to America to be a lawyer.
Oh.
And we were like, just don't give up on your dream. And it was really amazing. And so we took them out for lunch as well. And so when we ended, we're sitting in the back of the truck that they were, me, my two roommates, and my one roommate who was her and I were sponsoring. She was on my lap crying. The other girl, Jenny, who was like skeptical about everything, she's like, you can't fake this. You can't fake this. And then we're all just sobbing in the back. And then Madonna Material Girl started playing on the radio and we started dying laughing. And we're like, wow, this is...
back to reality.
Yeah, it was just kind of amazing. And seeing that experience too is just, wow.
Is it tough? Because I went to an orphanage with Laura, your roommate, our friend, recent guest of the show, return guest. When we were in Africa, we stopped at an orphanage there and it's... You know, it's heartbreaking, you know, to see them. You know, it's heartwarming and heartbreaking at the same time. And I know at the end there comes a point where it's like, okay, we should give some money to her. I mean, did that hit you in Guatemala? It's like, how much is right? And do I look like...
Well, they told us, you know, Children International, like when we were going to arrange this, they were like, you know, don't bring money.
Don't give it through the organization if you're going to
But they said give, so we got this duffel bag and we filled it with like
pens,
pencils, coloring books. I think we got them like loaves of bread and all this stuff like for her, like, you know, educational books and stuff like that and, you know, bread and whatnot for their family. And I still have it there. Her mother gave us these heron like wood sculptures, like mother herring and like two little babies. I still have them.
Aww.
And it just, it's amazing. And it, you know, I feel like giving gifts like that is really good.
Have you stayed in touch? Is she on like Facebook or something?
No, I think after a while, my other roommate who was we were both sharing her. She took over, and then I think it was just kind of done from that. So
we'll never know if she's a lawyer now.
I know. I'm sure we could probably reach out to Children International. Yeah. Be like, so what happened?
Oh, well, that's kind of a cool experience.
Yeah.
What was the moment that you? Whose idea was it to move to LA? You or this phantom roommate?
It was. So her name's Anna.
Anna.
So yeah, we lived in Michigan, and we met waitressing at Lone Star Restaurant.
Okay. So college was never like your thing.
I didn't go to college until later, like mid-20s. I started when I was out here in California.
Oh, right.
Because,
okay.
You know, my mom had left for Guatemala and I had to work right away. And I actually, I lived in my car for a little bit.
Wow.
And I actually never told my mom. So I'm sure when she hears this, she's going to be like, what?
Because I hope it was at least the summer in Michigan.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was a temporary thing because she'd set me up with this, you know, apartment, but in this roommate, but it fell through. But anyways, So I then, that's how I met Anna, is through working. And so she was living alone. So I moved in with her. So it was 2005, I will remember, and we were going through crazy winter snowstorms, and I just was over it. I hated winter. I'd always hated winter. I hated cold, winter depression. It's the worst. And I just went into her room, and I go, let's move. And she goes, where do you want to go? I go, I don't know. Let's go to Vegas or LA. She goes, oh, let's go to Vegas. I go, no, let's go to LA.
Check that. Let me repeat. Yeah. So, Vegas. Oh, no.
Yeah. After she said, I was like, you know, it seemed like a good idea for a second. But
right.
No. So she, at the time, she's half Japanese. She worked for Northwest Airlines.
Oh.
And so she put in a job transfer. And so the next spring, kind of forgotten about everything, this guy called me. He's like, hi, I'm so-and-so from flying in from LAX. Can I speak to Anna? And I was like, whoa, I'm her roommate. He's like, well, she put in a job, transfer a while ago. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, Anna. So she got the job, transferred her out there. And then I came like a year later or so.
Okay.
And
that's how you ended up in the South Bay in Hermosa?
Yeah.
That's where she was living?
She was already there and then had moved in with our, friend, skeptical friend at the
time. The skeptical friend.
Her name was Jenny. And we were, it was an amazing time.
Like, yeah, I'm
coming
sure.
to California.
These are the stories I want to.
Yeah, these are the stories.
Do I want to hear them? I don't know if I want. Your mom may listen to this.
Yeah, right.
So you come out here, but you were not like trying to get into the biz or
no,
anything like that.
I had no desire. Like I'd always wanted to do modeling, but yeah, I did a little bit, but it never was. I just wanted warm weather.
Yeah.
I wanted
the
beach.
I get it. I grew up in Chicago. Yeah, I don't miss it. I don't miss that part of it.
I don't miss it at all.
No, I don't want to scrape my windshield right now.
No, that's all I cared about.
I get it.
that was it.
But you come out here and you realize, I need some money. You know, people think like, oh, there's slackers out there. You can't be a slacker out here. It's too expensive. You want to slack off, go to Florida.
Exactly.
You know, or Vegas. Or Arizona.
Yeah, or go to Vegas.
Yeah, that's where they go.
you can
live cheap. Here, the cost of living, I mean, I tell people, it's like, you've got to hustle, man. If you're a slacker out here, you're going to be homeless.
It was crazy. So thankfully, when I moved to Hermosa, California, for the very first time, never had visited here. I think I maybe had less than $200 in my bank account. I might have had less than $100 in my bank account.
Did you go door to door to restaurants and go, I will wait any?
I literally walked down the street because I was walking distance from Pier Ave. And
so, okay, let me guess where you went. You went to Hennessy's, you went to the Lighthouse, you went to...
I went to Hennessy.
Of course you did. Is that where you got a job?
That's where I worked for 4 years.
Okay.
And
this is where it pays off to be a tall, beautiful woman. Hey, I'm looking for a job. Boom. You know who doesn't get hired that quickly? This guy. Me.
I'm sure you would have been a great bartender.
Yeah,
there.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a good experience. And like, you know, I was 22, just turning 23, living in Hermosa on the beach and at Hennessy.
Wasn't awful. Yeah.
It wasn't terrible. And seeing dolphins every day. And and so like now I have met some really amazing friends that I'm still good friends with now. And we're like Hennessy's. Like that was the only thing it was good for was meeting each other.
Yeah. I mean, but you need that. You know?
And it was great.
I mean, you find a crowd. I mean, you need it. And you know, everybody came through there at some point, so you would meet so many, you know,
it's guys. It's like working at Hennessy's is like the initiation of like living in Southern California. Right. Like you have to.
And they own like a bunch of different ones all over.
They own like Lighthouse and all everything.
Yeah. Rockefeller's now.
Rockefeller,
It's all the same guy.
Yeah.
He's doing fine.
Yeah.
Whatever Hennessy, he's fine.
Good for him.
You came out here. When did the college thing happen?
Oh, gosh. I think I just went to community college. I was working. Like, I was kind of a jack of all trades. Like, I could do any job, anything, and I would learn really quickly. And I actually was wanting to be a veterinarian. And that was my childhood dream. And that's kind of where I started. I was interning at a veterinary clinic in Manhattan Beach, and I did this program. It was kind of a three-month program. It was like a veterinarian assistant program just to see and if I liked it, and I loved it. But it was a lot, and it's okay. I'm in my mid-20s. It would be 10-plus years of school, and veterinarian school is it's harder than being a doctor.
It's expensive too, right?
Yes, and you don't get paid well at the beginning.
Yeah, right. You got to be in it for the long haul.
Yeah. So I did that program. It was amazing. I even got to perform a surgery on a cat.
What?
Yeah, a cat's leg completely broken. I got to hammer in the rod and sew up some stitches.
Oh my God, you're not even trained to do that.
Well, it was a stray, so it was okay.
Oh my God, they don't mean anything anyway. Give it to the girl over there.
I asked.
Oh my God.
I asked if I could scrub in because I was actually very interested in like being a surgeon in the veterinarian field. And so none of the other workers wanted to scrub in with this doctor because they knew it was going to take a while. And I asked and he's like, yeah, scrub in. And I'm like, okay.
Ooh.
And he was guiding me through it. He's like, just keep your, you know, arms and shoulders relax the entire time. So most of the time I'm just there watching him work and he's explaining what's going on. And then at one point, like I had to hold the legs together, or actually he held the legs together and he's like, do you want to, I guess you could say, like hammer the rod through the kneecap.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So we were doing that and my legs were shaking the entire time, but it was amazing. Like I loved it. And then it kind of got to the point where he was, you know, sewing the cat's leg up. And he's like, do you want to do a stitch or two? And I'm like, absolutely.
Wow.
And so it was a really amazing experience because it was just like, you know, you just have to ask.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know, like, ask. And I got to, like, do a surgery.
That's crazy. Yeah. I would think, though, like working in a vet's office, it would just get sad of seeing sick animals all the time. And
Putting
them down, that's got to be the worst.
It's hard, but, you know, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be because the animals that need to be put down, they need it.
Right.
You know, and it's actually worse, and this was the saddest thing that we'd see is people holding on to their dogs, and they're like, they're falling apart. Their ears coming off, their
quality
eyes
of life,
out of their, you know, head.
It's like, who is this? Who are we keeping them alive for? You or your dog? You
know? And it is generally like just for the owner, and that's the saddest part.
Right.
So when it's, you know, they're old and it's the best thing for them, it's kind of, you know, it's relieving, you know, it's, you know, they're not suffering. So that actually wasn't the hardest part. It was the animals that were being kept alive for, you know, their owner's personal, like they just can't let them go. That's the hardest thing.
And it's gotta feel great to fix them, you know?
Yeah.
I think maybe working at a shelter would be worse.
Shelter would be harder.
Yeah.
For
Cats
sure.
They have to put down a healthy dog.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be awful.
Yeah. So,
all right, so when you're there, so you come out here, and you're thrown into, like, for a young person living in Hermosa, it's fun, you know, it's like really post-collegiate.
It was the best.
Yeah, so, I mean, did you explore California at all? Did you get around? I mean, you're taking road trips to, you know, the mountains and stuff?
You know,
full on California to take surfer lessons? And
shockingly, no.
Okay.
I was so involved in, like, being in the South Bay. It's the bubble.
Right.
And being young, like, you know, we went to places, but I didn't really get that, like, I need to see California until recently, because I've done a lot of traveling, like, a little bit later in life, and I realized I haven't seen much of California. And so...
And it's huge.
It's, and there's so many amazing things here. And I'm like, why? Like, I love going out of the country, but it's like, I really need to see what is here. And I did an amazing road trip. I think my first road trip, I would say. Like, I've driven up the coast to San Francisco, sure, but, yeah, you know, that was just to get to A to B.
Right. And do the coast with, like, Big Sur, yeah, and the whole thing. Yeah, yeah, sure.
So that's nice. But beautiful. I didn't really stop. But last year I did this road trip up to Bishop and Bridgeport. It was amazing. And I'd always driven through those areas going to Burning Man. And it's just like the Sierra Nevada mountains are just amazing. And so I went, and we have a friend that has a ranch up there in Bishop, and it's, ooh, beautiful. Nice. And it's called First Light Ranch, and they want to make it into a kind of a retreat area where people can go. They have beautiful horses, and they have goats and chickens running around, and the mountains, it's beautiful. And so I went up there to visit them, and then I would drive kind of like through the mountains a little bit and around through Twin Lakes and June Lake. And then I stayed in this Airstream in Bridgeport.
I don't know Bridgeport.
It's really small. And they have this reservoir there, and I can't remember what the campground is called, but they have some RVs that are set up like Airbnbs.
Yeah.
But you can bring your own RV in. So there was this Airstream at the end right by the water, and it was so freaking cute. And I was like, I'm staying there. And I would get up. They would have canoes or kayaks, I should say, out just to use. So every morning I would get up and I would kayak, and like the water was so still, and you'd see like the White Cap Mountains, and it was beautiful. And then I would go into Twin Lakes and go around there, and it was so beautiful. And yeah.
So what were the other foreign places you said you've been? I mean, you said you would, you know, been around a bit, so
yeah.
Give us some.
So
we'll talk about your most recent trip with Laura. <I know. laughs> Soon,
yes.
But
so let's see, you know, Guatemala, and then Belize, stopped in Honduras for a little bit on my way to Belize, and Bali, and Italy for a little bit, and London, North Macedonia.
See, now I've never talked about that on this show in 12 years. I know nothing about North Macedonia.
It's
all part of the former Yugoslavia there, right?
Yeah, and I know Laura, she wants to do Eastern Europe, and it's incredible. Like, one of my favorite countries to go to is Montenegro, and a lot of people don't know, you know, where is this?
Yeah. And next to Serbia, and
it's just south of Croatia, yeah, and it's
on the sea.
It's right? so it's beautiful. So when I went to visit my mom a couple of years ago, I wanted to go out there before she retired. I went out there early, and I found this yoga retreat in Montenegro while she was still in her school year. I was there, and it was just beautiful retreat, and I had like the top apartment that overlooked the sea, and it was amazing. And the food, I thought, oh, it's a vegan meal. I'm going to lose so much weight. We had this woman make the freshest like meals
cheese
for us, like, and bread, the bread. Oh my God.
Right.
It was so good.
Gee, why am I not losing weight with bread and cheese every day and wine?
And everything was so fresh. I wasn't even drinking.
Oh, really?
And like, not at the yoga retreat.
Okay. No, of course. Why would, no.
And
keep it pure.
It was just, the food was unbelievable. And it was just so fresh. And like, you know, this old woman from Montenegro, like, makes, you know, all of it fresh every morning and then every evening for our dinner. And that was a beautiful experience. And then my mom, she drove and stayed with me my last weekend in the retreat.
Aww.
And So she got to experience that a little bit, and then we drove through Albania and Kosovo and all that.
That's on my list. I haven't been to those. I've been to Croatia like 5 times, but I was close, yeah, but I didn't make it a little farther.
You got to go through. It's just, it's so beautiful, and the mountains driving through there was unreal, and North Macedonia is such an amazing place.
How's it doing, like, economy-wise? I mean, is it still...
Yeah, it seems good.
Getting around? Trains, buses? What were you using?
I mean, my mom had a car, but they had a lot of public transportation, and, she had her own, like, it's kind of... There's taxi drivers, but she had this one guy, and like she would just call.
The
and
driver?
He was, yeah, I can't remember his name, but he was so great. And he was lovely. So if my mom needed a car, like he would just come pick her up. And there was buses, and a lot of people biked, bicycles. And
why did she pick there, of all places, North Macedonia?
Still
teaching?
No, she's retired now.
No, but
she was the principal.
Okay.
I think that was the offer that she got because she was in the Republic of Congo, and
that must have been insane.
It was.
I mean, that's one of the poorest countries in the world.
It was. She loved it there. Like she loved traveling all over Africa, but where she was, it was very just difficult to get. Just basic, produce. Like you couldn't get good produce there. Like I think she got this watermelon. It was not even that great, and it was almost like $50 or something.
Oh,
or five strawberries would be like $30, and it would be wilted and not that great. So she liked Africa, but it was very hard conditions. So she was there for 2 or 3 years, and then I think she got the offer in Macedonia. And they loved my mom.
She was
so great. And they just, when I went to visit her and she took me around the school, like everybody was so wonderful. And they're like, she's our family and we love her.
Aww.
And the kids all love her.
I think I remember seeing you post photos of this when you went to, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing. So where's she going to retire to, or where she is retired? Is she retired to? Here with you?
I laugh because she retired into Michigan.
Come on.
I know.
Back to Gay Street?
I bet not back to the Gay Street, thank God.
Really? She could go anywhere? She's going to go scrape her windshield again? Really?
I said the same thing to her. I was like,
Wait a minute. Does your brother have, does she have grandkids there?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why.
So the rest of my family's there. My nephew, Blake.
Okay, well, I get it then.
Yeah, they had a special bond, and so she told me this story and, she had to go, she's home for the summer. So they would spend the summers together. And then when she would go back, he would, be really sad. And he ran after her.
Aww.
She hugged him and she's like, I promise this is the last time we're going to do this.
Aww.
And so when I was like, why Michigan? Like you could go to like Colorado or somewhere super
because
cool.
Because she has grandkids.
That's why.
But at least get a winter place, ma. I mean, come on. I mean, do your summers in Michigan. That's fine.
Yeah, that's summers in Michigan. They're great.
Right, they're fun.
Yeah. So she's there. And
okay. That's funny. So she's there.
So she's there.
You know, that means she's going to come out and stay with you more, though.
I keep telling her her birthday's coming up the end of March. I'm like,
hey.
What are you going to do?
That's right. So we're going to get to, you ended up going to community college.
Yeah, and that was it.
Okay.
I actually moved back to Chicago during that time and kind of finished out there. And I lived in Chicago for, I think it was 4 years.
Which neighborhood?
5 years. Boys Town, of course.
Sure.
And Roscoe Village.
Gay Street, again.
Well,
I'm noticing a theme here.
God, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, it was quite the theme.
I lived on like Belmont and Racine.
Okay, yeah. So
I was close. I was in Lakeview, but just,
yeah.
We were close.
We were neighbors.
Yeah. I didn't know you went back there for that long.
Yeah, I love Chicago. Chicago's amazing, but
Back to scraping your windshield again.
I was there during like the polar vortex of 2014.
That'll send you back here.
Oh my God. I never experienced like winter depression that bad. Like I was feeling physical pain like from depression.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, everything was shut down, couldn't work, do anything. And I think I heard on the radio, it was a record that we didn't see sunlight for over 90 days.
Oh.
And it was always
that'll wear you out.
Below zero.
Because I went to Northern Illinois University. I mean, but we knew it was going to be cold. I mean, you always know the cold's coming. You know, it's winter.
Yeah.
You know what's coming. But it's just the endless gray days.
Yes.
I remember going weeks without seeing the sun.
It's awful.
And that wears on your mind, you know, even though we're in college, we're like, big party, you know. That's why by mid-March and spring break rolls around, you're just going apeshit. I mean, you got to like, we're getting a car and we're driving for 30 hours to Key West.
Yes.
And we did it. We in shifts.
Just like you need to.
I need to feel a warm wind. Yes. You know what I mean? Just one that doesn't cut through me to the bone.
It's yes. Just,
and I need to see the sun. And you start to see why they give like manic depressives light therapy and things like that, because it changes your mood completely.
I was going to come back to California, and I think it was later that year, and then I had this boyfriend at the time in Chicago. He came after me into to California, be like, come back, and so I did. And anytime winter crept back up, like I would start crying because I'm like, I'm scared. I'm so scared. I was like, we have to go on vacations. Like, I can't be here for this 7-8 months of gray cold. Yeah. I can't do it. And I didn't.
Okay. So you came back. Yeah. When did the yoga start?
Well, actually, this is a great segue.
Okay.
When I was in Chicago, and it was during the polar vortex.
Is this for a mood?
Yeah.
Enhancer.
And my friend, she was a coworker. Like, we were friends, not super close, but I was really suffering bad and like really depressed. And I don't know if she got the sense of it, but she reached out.
I'm sure everybody did.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you have been more bitchier than usual.
Amber seems like a bummer for the last, ever since November,
she's really
kind of a drag, really.
So she reached out to me and she's like, hey, you know, she was teaching at Core Power Yoga. And so she said, you can get a free week there. Why don't you come with me? And I'm like, free week? Okay. And I went, I did the Hot Power Fusion class, which is like 110 degrees.
I can't do it.
Oh, when you're in Chicago and it's negative 80 degrees. Yes. So I went in and it was just, I left that class and all of the depression and the heaviness and everything just was gone. And I felt like, wow, like I'm happy again. And so I did the free week and it really changed my life. And that's really the starting point of how I got into wellness and, you know, yoga and all of that, because it really does a lot for not just the body, but for the mind. And that really saved me because I was really in a dark place.
Right. But did it go from like, I'm going to take classes, or when did it go to like, I want to teach?
Yeah. So after that, I couldn't afford a membership at the time. I was like a broke college student, barely working. And so they did this kind of work for trade. So I would come in, I think 1 or 2 hours a week and clean like the studio. And then I got a free membership. So I did that and it was great. And then they were looking for a retail associate to manage, you know, the Chicago area, parts of the studios. And so I got that. And then yoga teacher training came around. And that was really where it all began. And so, you know, I don't go to Core Power much now, because back when I was there, it was, you know, still kind of like a smaller, it wasn't corporate yet.
Right.
And so I kind of... It's like where everything began. And then
so Core Power was not Bikram.
There. No, Bikram's different.
Okay, that's a different.
Yeah.
That's that a whole creepy guy that
yeah,
is like,
that...
I haven't watched that documentary yet, but I'm afraid to.
I haven't either. And I'm like, I already don't like doing Bikram.
Right.
So
okay.
I don't need to watch a documentary.
So when you came back here,
mm-hmm.
was the point you were going to teach? yoga?
Or you know, I once again came back due to the weather.
Sure. Without a plan. Back to Hennessy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you?
No, I did not. God, what did I do when I came back? I don't even remember. I'm pretty sure I was still waitressing or something.
You remember the year?
I came back, 2016, actually. I got into advertising. And I had a friend who reached out, and at that time, my boyfriend in Chicago, we were breaking up, and my friend reached out like, hey, are you in LA? I have a job for you. And then my old roommate, Jenny, she messaged me like the next day and was just like, hey, my place is open. You need a roommate.
Oh, so it was meant to be.
It was meant to be. I was even having dreams of California. Wow. So I came back out, started working in advertising, and then... lived back in Hermosa for a little bit and then just kind of went from there.
So did Bali come out of yoga thing? Was that a rite of passage for every yoga teacher? You have to go to Ubud?
But actually it was my mom and I.
Oh, okay.
So my mom and I, we like to, you know, do trips together. And so, God, where was she? Was she in Africa at this point? Or she... I forget where, I don't even know where she was, but she's like, I want to go to Bali. So we went to Bali.
Okay. That's how it works.
A couple of her teacher friends were there and it was amazing. We had such an amazing experience. And
where'd you stay in Bali?
Was it Canggu? Canggu?
Okay.
I feel like I'm saying it wrong, but it's where everybody goes to surf.
Right.
And then we went to Ubud and it was really beautiful. The food was incredible there. Like, I did lots of yoga as well, and it was just really beautiful place. You know, the one thing I was disappointed, like, it's very polluted,
yeah,
which is kind of a bummer. But you know, there is something special there, and I would love to go back for sure.
When did Burning Man start? How many times have you gone?
I think I've gone 5 times.
Okay. I talked to Angeline about this. She has some good Burning Man stories.
I'm sure.
You've been 5 times. And you missed last year with the mud bath, right?
Yes.
Lucky you.
I know. And that's when I did my my road trip up to like Bishop and Bridgeport. So during when I was getting like free ticket offers. And I feel like, is the universe like testing me right now? Like, I need this road trip more than anything. But it's like, I could be going to Burning Man. And even when I was in Bridgeport, this like $1 million RV rolled in and they were like these artists from Venice.
Sure.
And they came out to like refill and dump or whatever. And I was chatting with them and they were like, you're not coming to Burning Man. We have a free ticket. You can stay in our RV.
Again, the universe is speaking.
I know. And I'm just like, I can't. And they're like, really? You're going to stay here for this? And I said, yeah. I'm going to be in nature.
I like walls and a shower. Look at that.
Yeah.
For this? Yeah.
For this. Yeah.
Running water? Absolutely.
Absolutely. And so I was like, what did I do?
Give me your best and worst Burning Man experience.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, jeez. I don't even know. Well, you know what? Some of the best Burning Man experiences I've had was when I'm alone. And I'll go right off into the playa. And, you know, I'll just stop at different art installations or like my favorite DJ out there is Carl Cox. And he's just so fun. And this last year that I went, that was the extremely hot year. I went to his camp playground and he did a morning set. And I just brought a tiny cooler with me with like some soda waters and champagne and like my mister, and I just danced for 5 hours. And it's just I don't know, when you can feel that free and like kind of not give a damn, it's really amazing.
Are you an RV person or a tent person?
Huh? I started off as a tent person and now I'm RV, but I mean I could do the tent, but I mean with the last few years, I don't know how, because last year that I went, 2 burns ago, it was so hot, like you couldn't survive in your tent. And then this last year, which I'm so glad that I missed, it was, you know, you were sleeping in the mud.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've heard so many stories about it, and then I've never done it. And I think like I would do anything once, but I get like I want to do it for like 3 days. I don't want to do full 10 days.
You can't.
Can't you just helicopter me out after 3 days?
No, you cannot. You know, for the first 2 to 3 days, you're acclimating. Like, honestly, you need to go for 2 years.
What?
Because the first year, it's just overwhelmed. So much. You're so overwhelmed.
And then you get the lay of the land the next time.
Yeah. And then by the time, like, your first year, you kind of get adjusted to it. It's over.
Right. I also don't do, like, chemicals really that
well,
much.
Well, I don't really either. Okay. Not when I'm out there. Like, if anything, I'll, like, do a gummy mushroom or something. Right. But it's already so mentally stimulating. Like, I would be scared to do, like, something hardcore, like, you know.
Do you do yoga classes out there?
I have once. And they're really, there's a lot of funny ones. It's nice. There was one, I didn't do it, but it was, like, pantsless yoga.
Go on. I'm listening.
I did not attend that class, but
or half the people naked anyway, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
So I guess it's not. Yeah. I guess, you know, you're not seeing the people in postures when they're naked. Yeah. They're just walking around or on
a bike. Good point. Good point.
So yeah.
Yeah. Downward facing dog. I'm good. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, give me your worst experience there.
Worst. I'm trying to think.
Did you get sick? Did you get like?
I've been pretty lucky. Like, I haven't, not that I can remember, had any like worse, terrible stories I could say. You know, I think it was the hot year.
Yeah.
We wanted to get out so bad, and there was just the most insane dust storms, like 8 hours, and they would close the gate. And nobody could leave. And at that point, you know, it was towards the end and of, you know, Burning Man, and
dust is everything in everything you own. And
it was everywhere. Ugh. And you were just over it, and you're hot. And
it sounds awful.
It was, yeah. And so we wanted to leave, and we just couldn't. So it was just being pushed. And not even in a fun way.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, I am being tortured right now.
Are you in a crew that you go with every time? Like,
yeah. Okay. So I camp every year with Sharky's Bar.
And sure.
They're great. And they're old school Burning Man camp. And they're just a lot of fun. Daytime bar. they're like, you know, my family. And yeah. So I feel very lucky that I met these people. Because I think if I would have started off in the wrong camp, I probably would have never gone back, because I don't think I could do like a sound camp or anything crazy.
Right.
You know, they were just, it was fun. It's just real.
Does it ever get a weird vibe with guys there or anything as a woman?
Not, you know, there's always...
Does it get uncomfortable in some tents?
There's always creepers, you know, everywhere.
Right. Well, sure.
But, you know, really...
Don't look at me when you say that.
I know.
I take offense now.
Yeah. You know, I never really had a bad experience at Burning Man, like, where I felt I need to, like, in danger, or I need to get out of here. And I feel like I just keep myself around, you know, my family or good people, or even when I'm out alone, like, nobody really approaches me, which sometimes I'm like, why? Why aren't I approached?
Is it the goggles and the 2-inch layer of dust covering you? Maybe.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe. But no, I've always felt like pretty safe at Burning Man and not, you know, bothered in that way.
Let's go. Well, now we can talk about Peru.
Yes.
Now that Laura's not here.
Oh god.
And you can say, okay, how did she pitch it to you? And what was the reality?
Well, you know, I had been wanting to go on one of these trips with her for a while, and you know, I was supposed to go on the Kilimanjaro trip, and I couldn't go because of my job at the time, and I was devastated. Like, yeah. I almost quit. And they told me yes, or they made it sound like a yes. And then I got a no, and I was like messaging Laura. I was like, I want to go. And then they're like, sorry, COVID's picking back up. And what if you get stuck out there? And I'm like, I don't care. Like, leave me out in Africa. So as I'm looking at the Kilimanjaro photo now.
Oh, yeah. And you're not in it. Maybe we can Photoshop you in there.
I need to be Photoshopped in. But so it was, you know, months ago. She brought it up and I was like, I don't know if I can go, if I can afford it and, you know, whatever. And she's like, Amber, you have to go. Like you didn't go to Kilimanjaro. And she's like, she was like, you are going. And I'm like, okay, we're going to make this happen. So, yeah, I ended up, was able to go and it didn't feel real. I was like, I don't feel like it's real until I'm there yet.
Right.
And so we did a lot of work to get me down there. And so, yeah, it was incredible. Like, it was, I'm glad that she pushed it on me. I mean, she didn't have to push hard, but I think it was more the mental, like, I don't know if I can afford it and work and this, that, or whatever. And she's like, no, you're coming.
And then you get down there and it was a little more physical than you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
She said, oh, we're just going to take a little hike.
Yeah, you know, she told me...
You're not doing the full Inca Trail, right? You're not...
No, it wasn't full trail, but, you know, and how she made it so nonchalant. Like,
bring your flip-flops, that's all you'll need.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, you know, like the first 5 days or so, it's going to be like, we're going to be visiting the hat, you know, not the makers, but the weavers for the band. And then, you know, we'll be seeing ruins. And then the last, you know... 4 days will be like the track. It'll be just so fun.
Big party.
And so, you know, and she's like, yeah, it'll be challenging, but you know, she didn't really go into detail, but I don't think she knew how.
Right. But did
difficult.
You train it? You didn't train at all.
No,
you didn't know. I mean, you're already in shape. You're a yoga instructor. You're already in shape, but
you think I do a lot of teaching, but I don't. Okay.
Well, you do it. I mean, but so.
I'm more of the sound bath person.
Okay,
yeah.
That's all right.
I think I did Temescal Canyon twice.
Okay, so you're not a big, like, hiker.
I love hiking. It's just, you know, I just didn't get a chance
right.
to train. And I didn't think. I was like, well, if I can do Temescal, it's whatever, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, that will just add 10,000 feet of elevation. So you're up there. Do they have porters, right, to carry
yeah,
your big
well,
bag? And,
yeah. So right. we had, I think, 17 mules.
Yeah.
And
half of those are costumes that you have to wear.
Right. Well, they actually limited us. They were like, you get this bag, then this is all that you could put your personal items in. So we did have a llama onesie, and so we had to fit that in.
Got it.
And they kept saying, you know, bring layers. It's kind of the beginning of the rainy season. It's going to get cold at night. So I'm thinking, I got to pack some layers here, like long johns, sweats, like sweatshirts, and all of this. Ended up being the complete opposite. It was hot. And
oh, was it? It was hot.
It was hot. And they were saying, and I think it rained one morning. Well like during the hike.
Better be prepared for rain. I mean, that's...
Yeah, so...
But you got to lug that crap all the way up there.
And, you know, it was... I think I brought one or two pair of spandex shorts. And let me tell you, I was so thankful I brought them because I was dying. I was sweating so much. But, yeah, so 2 days before we went, we had a, you know, debriefing with our, you know, guy, uh-huh. or leader, and, you know, we're all kind of, like, laughing, and he's like, no, this is serious. This is an 8 out of 10. You guys need to be focused. I don't know if you're ready for it. And we're like, what?
Oh, what? And I'm like, but our llama costumes.
Our llama costumes. And at that time, I was getting sick.
Oh,
and
from like,
I don't know. I don't. It
food or altitude or
people were like, oh, maybe you're getting altitude sickness. But you know, we had already been there for 7 days and done all the stuff.
Oh, so maybe.
So yeah. I was really starting to feel bad, and just tired and achy and just really out of it. And so that night after we spoke with our leader for the hike, I woke up and I had a fever, and every like inch of my body was aching so bad. Like, I was in such physical pain. Like, I had to go downstairs like at 3 a.m. to get like hot tea or something. And it just took so much out of me. And so the next day, which was the day before we had to leave for Cochoquidao, our trek, I had a doctor come to my room, and we had all this like medical team in there, and I'm dying, and I'm thinking, I have to do this trek. Oh my God. And so Laura's like, just, you know, don't do anything today. We're just going to see a local ruin. I'm like, I've already seen them all. And she's like, yeah, you're not missing anything today. So just lay in bed. So the doctors were in and out, and I was sick. They were saying that there was something going around. It wasn't COVID or anything. And she had to give me a shot in the ass. Mm-hmm. And that was fun. And she gave me a bunch of meds. And I'm just like, listen, I'm going on this 4-day trek. Can I do it? And she's like, I'm like, oh my God.
Not that you don't want to hear that.
She's like, you can do it, but, you know, just don't do anything today. And so she gave me a shot in the ass, gave me a bunch of meds, and 2 hours later, it was like that shot just hit all at once, and I felt like everything was gone.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, okay, this is great. Thank God. So I pretty much just stayed in bed all day, slept, rested, and then packed. And so 4 a.m., we had to be up to head to Cocho. And
wow. So you had like a 24-hour like flu or something?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
And it didn't hit, you didn't rain or anything like that?
Well,
1 day of rain.
We had 2 nights of the craziest thunderstorms ever, but by the time we were in our tents, it was happening. And we were on top of the mountain at this point.
Wow.
And let me tell you, it was crazy being on top of a mountain. And it was like, you know, growing up in the Midwest, we get some pretty good thunderstorms, but sure, it was nothing like this. Like, lightning is crashing all around us, and it's crazy rain and wind, and like the thunder is just echoing through like the canyons and everything. And you're just like, oh my God.
Wow.
You're just laying in your tent like, okay, so this is happening.
And did ever leak through, or did
no,
you ever,
it was
blew
good.
You around? Good for you.
It was good. And then it happened again the second night. And we were at our, you know, second night, we were at our campsite, and we were watching the storm come in and like hitting. And it was so cool. And they made us popcorn. And this was like one of my favorite moments, because I love popcorn. And we're sitting and looking off into the mountains, and I think we were drinking hot cocoa and eating popcorn, and I think Laura and I had a beer, and we're just watching the storm come in, and it's like day, you know, going into day 3, and
wow,
it was crazy. And so you're laying in your tent, and the most craziest thunderstorm is happening around you, and I am laying there, I'm like, yeah, I'm a badass. I'm a badass. But that, you know, I think it was on our way back. I believe it was our third day. It rained in the morning, and that was it. But it was so nice, and we were so happy because it was so hot.
Yeah,
it
cooled it down. Yeah.
Yeah. So we, since it was warm, we would get up at 4 a.m. to start the hike, and and so once it started, like kind of getting midday, then we would set up for camp. And
wow,
it was
so you did go to Machu Picchu.
Yes, the day after I got back from climbing Cocho, and I was dead. I was so dead. And me and one other girl, we went, but we took the train, we took the bus.
Oh,
up.
Okay.
We didn't.
For some reason, I thought the trail led to Machu Picchu.
There, you can do a trail there, okay, but
I took the train up too. I'm not ashamed to say.
Especially after what we did.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do Cochoquidao to Machu Picchu, and I think it's an 8-day trek, which I actually would do. But it's It was really one of the most challenging things I'd ever done because the strike. There's a picture of me. I can't remember if I showed you. It's like day one. Like we're just starting. We're on top of like our starting point, and I look like this professional hiker. Like
all fresh face.
Look at me.
Gore-Tex.
And then it's the third day. My face looks like it's been beaten up. My hair is like a mess in dreadlocks. And it's like, yeah, that kind of sums it up. But, you know, it's such a new trail. And I think on the 4 days we did it, we saw maybe 20 people. And
wow.
That was even when we were at the ruins as well, which was unbelievable.
So is it like Ocho? It's called Ocho?
Cocho Canal.
Cocho what?
Cocho Canal.
Okay. And do you start from like Cusco or?
No, well, it's a 4 or 5 hour ride from Cusco to the starting point. And it was, the mountains were just unbelievable.
Do you know what elevation, how high you got?
Cusco was higher.
Okay.
So I feel like we were already used to the elevation. So I think we were around 10,000 feet.
Okay.
I think Cusco is like 13
or
something. So the elevation wasn't really a thing at
that's
all.
Good.
It was the switchbacks and how steep it was. There was no flat surface at all. Like there was no just like, oh, we're just walking along on a flat. No, it was straight down for 4 or 5 hours or then we crossed the bridge, which was the only flat part, I guess you could say. And then it was, I think, 4 or 5 hours straight up switchbacks. Mm-hmm. And the trail is a lot of loose rock. And it was, I had a few moments where I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing?
Did anybody in the group at some point turn on Laura? Like, hey, you didn't say it was.
At the beginning.
Okay. You made this sound like a leisurely.
At the beginning, there was a few, like when we were really getting into it, some of the girls were like, I can't believe how much I paid for this. Like, what am I doing? And
that's funny.
But, you know, once we get over the bitching and the moaning, it was great. But it was the hardest thing I'd ever had done. And we were talking on our way back, like, there's no way we can explain how, like, we can say, yeah, it was a very difficult hike, but it's something you have to experience. And, you know, as I'm going through and it's hot and switchback after switchback after switchback after switchback, I could just start feeling the tears welding up in my eyes. And I'm like, and they gave us 2 emergency mules, and in case, you know, we could ride on them. And that was kind of my goal. I didn't want to use a mule unless I absolutely had to, like if I got hurt or something. But I wish I could remember his name. I feel so bad. our leader, he was just like, I think he saw my face and was like, Amber, do you want to put your day pack on the mule? I'm like, yes. Because we're carrying like 20 some pounds or more on our backs, it was a lot. Oh, it was a lot.
Wow, what an amazing trip though.
It was really incredible. It changed a lot when I came back. Because even before doing the trek, you know, we got to see the indigenous people, the artisans that work on the hats, and just seeing how they live. And, you know, I had a moment where I had to kind of step out and I just had to check myself because it was just like, what am I doing? Like, I don't feel like I'm doing enough in my life. And these people, they were just so welcoming and warm, and they dressed us in their clothing, and they would do these like Pachamama ceremonies, and you know, they were just so happy to have us there, and they're so beautiful, and the colors and the food and everything. And it was just like, okay, like I'm changing everything that I'm doing right now.
That's great.
Yeah.
What was the better shower, the one after that hike or the one after the hot Burning Man? If you had to judge showers in your life.
Oh, my God. You know, I think it was day three on our trek. We got to this site, and they had showers there. They weren't, like, the best.
Okay.
It was, like, trickling... trickling shower, like glacier water. So it was ice cold, which was nice. And, you know, we didn't have much, but that it was just after killing yourself all day. And it was like a prison shower kind of, but because there would be like little bars like on the one window that they had, and like the walls are falling apart a little bit, and you're like, there's just spiders everywhere. But you're like, this is amazing. So I think, yeah, that was
that's a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So what's on your bucket list? Where would your dream trips be?
Oh my gosh. I really, ever since I was young, I don't know, I'm surprised I haven't been there yet. Australia and New Zealand, of course. Like, I've always wanted to go there since I was young. And then Africa, that's why I was so bummed with not being able to go to Kilimanjaro. Because that was like, I wanted to go on the safari, and like, that is my dream.
So the whole time your mom was in Africa, you never went?
No, it was like... it was years ago. I don't even remember. It was just like the opportunity wasn't there. And I was very disappointed about that.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's still there.
I know. I'm going to make things happen. Don't you worry.
You will. Where can people follow you if they want to see your pictures and everything else? On Instagram or anything else?
Instagram, Sound by Amber. And that's it. You know, I do sound bath meditations, yes, as well, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the Instagram page should be more about my sound baths, but it's more about my travel.
Well, you can only have so many pictures of you sitting over bowls.
I know.
Although you can do video, I guess, you know, the sound would be good. But.
Yeah. And also I have a website, soundbyamber.com. And that's more into like my sound, my yoga and whatnot. So that's the main.
That's great.
Those are the main places.
Well, what do you think? And finally, all this travel and the places you've been, and just moving and living in different places. Mm-hmm. What do you think it's taught you as a person and about people, and how has it changed you as a person?
Oh my gosh. It's changed everything. Because growing up from small town Michigan on Gay Drive. You know, I didn't know anything about culture or you know, different foods or anything, and just how people, you know, treat each other. And so going, especially to like Guatemala for the first time and seeing the culture down there and how rich it was and everything, it really opened my eyes to the world and how to treat each other. You know, some people I feel, you know, they don't know how to treat others that are different. And it's such a beautiful thing to travel and to also share your story too. So thank you for providing this platform. And it's also being out there really made me want to see more of like California and my country as well, because I haven't been much around here. And I think my main goal is to really see more of here, my home. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. I know you were really nervous and everything else.
Yes, I was.
You did great. It was easy.
My
it's
God.
Over.
It's over.
You can relax now.
Oh my God. Well, you just really kind of eased me in.
Well, yeah, I didn't put up like big floodlights or anything on you.
Well, you were just like, just start talking.
Yeah, that's all we're doing. We're having a conversation. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much. I'm glad we can finally do it. That's awesome.
Me too. This was good.
Amber Zinsmeister, everybody.
Yes, yes.
Got it. Amber Z. Thanks.
Thank you.